Missouri is what you're hearing right now. It's by an artist on the Mudstop label, one of the two area recording companies we're highlighting this morning. The idea is to capture a certain sound, a sound not heard anywhere but around these parts. That's the goal of Mudstop and Little Class Records. They aim to promote those sounds, champion the artists, and expose them to a wider audience. Make money? Well, that'd be a nice bonus. With us today to talk about the challenges of local record labels are Jody Hendricks is co-founder of Little Class Records, headquartered above the Westport Saloon, and we'll find out why that's a good thing in just a few minutes. And Jody, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Curtis Copeland is co-founder of Mudstomp Records with a business address in Overland Park. He joins us from his base in the Missouri Ozarks, and we'll find out why the music keeps him down there in just a bit. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Curtis, tell us, who was that Kansas City, Missouri woman singing Sweet Missouri there? What a pretty song.
That was Casey Rauch. She is actually local there in Kansas City, and she is a real champion of Americana and folk music in your area.
I was going to say, what is it about her that exemplifies what you're trying to do with your label there?
She is a great musician as well as a great vocal talent, and her style of music, and it really exemplifies what Mudstomp is about and what we strive to capture with Americana-style music.
Hmm. Jody, how would you describe the sound you're capturing on Little Class Records?
Oh, man, I would say that we're capturing traditional American roots music and all of the evolving subgenres that, you know, come up underneath that. You know, people who grew up listening to the older country and the honky-tonk in the area, but later on in life, you know, got into the punk rock and the metal. And so now that those people are in their mid-30s, we're getting hybrids of music that, you know, were probably unheard of 10 years ago.
Is there a difference, Jody, between what you're trying to do with Little Class Records and what Curtis is trying to do with Mudstomp Records?
I don't think so. You know, Little Class and Mudstomp work together hand-in-hand through Don Simon. And, you know, I think we're on the same team, absolutely.
Let's get a sample from the Little Class Records vault here. Here's Billy Beal and the song Long Hard Road.
I'm like a stray dog that does not have a home. I'm never running with the pack, always alone. When it comes to wearing a collar, you can bet your bottom dollar that that is something Wild Bill's never done. But losing things is something I do well. The only time I've been successful's when I fail. I can get lost in a crowd. You can find me where the music's loud. What I call heaven, most folks would call hell. I say welcome to the world, Billy Bill.
You know, Jody, and the label Little Class, how did you come up with the name?
Honestly, it was just a brainstorm session. We were looking for something that you know, was kind of anti-pop culture, so but, you know, also kind of described what we were. We were just a you know, couple guys trying to do some stuff. So the concept of a small operation, but at the same time, you know, I mean, a little class is better than no class, right?
And what drew you to Billy Beal, the song we just heard? What was it about him? And tell us about him a little bit.
Billy Beal, he's 65, 66 years old. Billy is a legend. I always say he's a legend in the bar rooms, the juke joints, and the courtrooms of the region.
The courtrooms.
Yeah. And so, you know, Billy, he's lived a long life, and he's, you know, had a lot of trials and tribulations throughout his life.
But I got that from the song, by
right.
the way.
Well,
that came through pretty clearly.
When we met Billy, we didn't even have a record label yet. We just had some gear and a hobby of recording friends. And we found out that Billy was on his way to go on vacation for a little while, to put it lightly. And so we knew that we needed to put out a record for Billy before he went away. And he stepped out of the scene for a little while, paid the price for some sins he had committed in his past. And once we had that record in hand, we were like, well, I guess we have to brand this and come up with a record label. And that was probably 2010. Give or take.
And I gather, I don't want mean to put words in your mouth, but there was a certain authenticity about Billy Beal that you wanted to capture. Does that go without saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a character, man. I mean, he's unwritten history in Kansas City. He's, you know, he's been playing blues and roots music in this area for, you know, 40 plus years, 50 years. And, you know, I just felt a calling to make sure that we document his music up until, you know, he's done playing it.
Which... I gather, it goes without saying, you aren't going to hear a Billy Beal in Los Angeles, right? This is something that's sort of very much rooted in this part of the country.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, in today's new music industry, it's hard to get music heard in, you know, all parts of the country, unless you're actively touring. Billy at his age doesn't. And so, yeah, you know, it's absolutely authentic to this area. Billy's carved himself a nice niche in the dive bars and the wine tastings. And, you know, the little old ladies love to sit around here and play that guitar. And he's a rascal, too.
How eager was he to have you guys record him?
Very eager. I mean, you know, the first record we put out for Billy, he hadn't had a record in 10 years, so.
It meant something to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've, you know, we've been close ever since.
You know, Curtis, I asked Jody about where the name Little Class came from, and he had a good story there. How about the name Mud Stomp Records?
Well, Mud Stomp, both the music and the fans are very much related to the festival scene, the summer festival scene that occurs in the Ozarks around the four-state area. And that coupled with Hank Osterhout of Dead Man Flats held an event called Mud Stomp Mondays several years ago that showcased our type of music. But the idea of Mud Stomp is that at these outdoor festivals, the music, the Americana, bluegrass, and variations of that music gets the fans stomping to where they stomp the ground into the mud. So it was the label very much relates to the type of music we present. So,
well, let's listen to something that just might do what you're describing there. This is the song You Don't Have to Go, and this is from the Brody Buster Band. Curtis, tell us a little bit about the Brody Buster Band, because he's got some history behind him.
He sure does. Brody, he's a great guy, and he is arguably one of the greatest harmonica players ever, in my opinion. He's a He's kind of a legend in the Kansas City, Lawrence area. Very, very talented individual. When he was younger, he was on several television shows, including The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Dateline, Jon Stewart Show, even a couple of sitcoms, and just an amazing talent. And his music also is it has Americana bass, but it's a much edgier, much more of a hard driving sound than most of the acts on our label. But he again falls into that group of music festival performers, and he is very much part of the family. All of our musicians interact very well, and he's just a great talent and a great person.
How did you come across him?
He approached us at a music festival about 4 or 5 years ago. We obviously knew Brody from friendships with the other bands and other band members, and the other band members had nothing but great things to say about his talent and enjoying performing with him, and we decided to give it a chance, and we didn't actually learn about his history till after the fact, but he definitely lives up to his legend.
Now, Jody, with Little Class Records, you spent some time playing in a band yourself and traveling to gigs. How did that wind up translating then to producing records?
Really, the story goes, the band I was playing in, for several years, we hit the road. You know, we were gone every weekend, sometimes weeks at a time. And in that, I, you know, made a lot of friends and made a lot of bad decisions with those friends across the country. And we, you know, had a good time and we developed relationships. We slept on couches. We had after parties, you know.
Yeah.
And so we ended up purchasing our own recording gear because we were tired of paying for high studio prices. And, you know, once the record label launched, the network that we had built traveling around the country was a great foundation for what we decided we wanted to do, which is promote that music that we spent so much time submerged in.
And it worked.
I think so. I think it's working.
I
don't know if it's if the entire plan is written out yet, but you know, we're moving forward every day. We're growing. So
you know, you're headquartered at the Westport Saloon, and I said in the opening that we would reveal why that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Why is that a good thing?
Well, you know, really, we have a room that's about 200 capacity. The stage is small. It's perfect for bands that are trying to break out of their hometown, out of the garage, out of their local club scene.
You get them young.
Absolutely.
That's what you want to hear.
Absolutely.
You want to be able to spot that talent, right?
Absolutely, yeah, because, you know, I do all the booking for the Westport Saloon personally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first email that comes, you know, that I get from a band is like, am I booking them or am I not booking them?
Yeah.
Once I get them there, you know, do they need our services? Are they the kind of band that we want to work with? Do they have, you know, a good business plan? Are they, you know, running a good merch operation? Are they respectful? Are they, you know,
we have a whole blog post on your website talking about the kinds of things you're looking for in a band that would lend themselves to someone you would take seriously enough that you'd want to record and work with.
Yeah, absolutely. Littleclassrecords.com. We do a lot of blogging out of there, and I think the blog you're referring to is just some industry tips that I spit out there. You know, I mean, I probably, turning my phone off here, have missed 25 booking emails, you know.
Seriously.
Yeah. And
there's that many bands out there right now.
Bands and solo performers and, you know, just people trying to figure out their path of taking their music to, you know, on the road. Get a lot of out of town. I mean, like, I could probably book all out of town bands if I wanted.
So when you record a group, are they paying you or are you paying them or how does that work?
The way our operation is set up is we bring an artist in that we believe in, and it doesn't cost us anything to record a record because we have...
You've got the equipment already there.
Right. We have relationships with great local producers, Electric Cat Studios, Dead Horse Sound Company.
Yeah.
And we have back-end deals worked out with our producers. So, you know, for instance, Drew Barrasco of Electric Cat Studios, he'll take on a project and we'll spend 20 hours first 30 hours recording a record, not knowing if that record's ever going to sell any at all. Mm-hmm. And so my producers get paid every time a record sells. So really, we just, I mean, we play the lottery every time we find an artist that we believe in. It's like, is this going to be, you know, an artist that is able to sell 2,000 copies for us, you know, and pay rent mm-hmm. for us? Or is this, you know, something that we do because we want to just document the music?
How many records you got to sell to make any money?
Well, again, it doesn't really cost us anything but time to put out a record. Yeah. So, you know,
well, time's money, right?
I don't know. Maybe this, you know, we're in a new music industry. And so, all the price tags that are on, recording services and, you know, label, the value of a record label, the value of an album being sold, it's all up in the air. You know, so we're just we're trying to do things with the resources that we have. And one of the things that we have is a lot of friends, you know, and a lot of people who are driven to do stuff. So,
well, how often do you record somebody because you think the music needs to be documented versus how often do you record somebody because you think it'll sell some records and maybe you'll make some money?
It's 100% of the time we do it for the documentation of the music. I mean, like my, you know, like when I'm dead and gone, I would love to have a catalog of, you know, 5,000 records that we put out in a 50 year period, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we've had records that have sold 100 copies because the artist doesn't tour and they're not that active. We've had, you know, our most active bands are, you know, well over 1,000 copies. And they're just out there hustling. And the CD is a dead medium, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people listen for free on Spotify and other streaming services. Unfortunately, that doesn't pay the bills. So we've, you know, I mean, a tenth of a cent, you know, split between the label and the band is not anything for anybody.
Well, Curtis, you know, you and your co-founder, Jack Stafford, spent time traveling around listening to bands at festivals. How did that translate to recording them at Mudstomp?
Well, there's an interesting history there. Jack and I started out to try to capture and document the festival scene through video media rather than audio recordings. And as we were working with the bands, getting to know the bands more and more, getting to experience the music more and more firsthand, our business plan shifted to the recording industry, and not a traditional recording industry, but one that would benefit these local groups. And as Jody had said, trying to break out from the local scene and get some mainstream attention. And we very quickly, Jack and I, decided to come up with a business plan that was mutually beneficial, not only to us, but to the artists as well.
Yeah.
And we have a huge focus on not only the artists, but also our fan base, because it's very much a family organization amongst our bands and artists, as well as the fans. There's a huge dedicated base of fans in that kind of festival genre, if you will.
Hey, and what's your goal, Curtis? Is it to document music, or is it to make money doing it?
Actually, the main goal is to promote the artists, and also to get more music out there to the fans of this genre. Mm-hmm. And we also wanted to create a genre with the label Mudstomp. Our hope was, and I think we've had some success with that, folks, referring to this type of music as Mudstomp music. I think we've had some success with that.
Hmm.
And we'd like to continue that as our legacy.
But you're not talking about making money, Curtis, as I hear you talk. That's not the primary objective here.
Well, as Jody had mentioned, the record industry is a completely different animal than it has been in the past. I mean, just take, for instance, traditionally the split would be 96%, 4% between label and artist on any kind of returns. Everything
Wait, who gets the 96?
The record label. And
so that's what you hear artists complain about it all the time, right? Not just you, your artists, but across the country.
Right, historically, and we wanted to break that down so all of our deals from the get-go have been 50-50 between the artist and the label, and the majority of that our 50% goes into promotion and just keeping the label and the name alive. So as Jody had also mentioned, you know, the live music and live shows is really the new moneymaker. There's so much digital media out there and so much free streaming going on that our performers have to perform live. They got to be on the road. Selling recordings is, as far as CDs, it is a dead medium as far as selling them on the shelves, but they are a good source of gas money and lodging and food for artists on the road, so they'll sell CDs at merch tables and so forth. But it's a different industry for sure, and you've got to be into it for the love of the music and the love of the artists.
I was going to say, you go back to Jody here from Little Class. I mean, the love of the music must run awfully deep for you guys. I mean, where does that come from in your life?
For me personally, it's a family thing. I grew up around, country music and, you know, session players and bar players and, you know, basement players. And, you know, there's a little history there that just really, I think, just put it in my blood from even before I knew what I was doing. From as soon as I could remember, started forming bands and then creating events so that my band could play it. You know, I put on my first festival when I was 14, with high school bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just really never stopped since. So,
Curtis, how about you? Where does your love of the music come from?
I'm just a music appreciator big time. I love the music. I love, all different genres and style of music, but you know, growing up in the Ozarks, I had a lot of exposure to Americana and folk and bluegrass, and there's not just the music, but the lifestyle and that follows that type of music. You know, the Ozarks, the outdoors, all the feelings that kind of music stirs up as well. That's been my real drive to this.
Certainly, Curtis, implicit in what you're doing here is this acknowledging that there's a certain sound you can find in the Midwest, but you can't get it anywhere else. Am I seeing that right?
There is an honesty to it. I mean, you can find bluegrass all over the nation, or you can find Americana music all over the nation, and not to say that it's not honest there as well, but it's just like a dialect, you know, regional dialect. It's got a certain feel that can be emulated other places, but the real power as well with our type of music is the live show. And that's the real challenge in recording this type of music, is translating that live sound, that live feel, that energy that the artist can project to the fans in that live environment. And the honesty of that music is translating that to a recorded medium is a real challenge. And we couldn't do it without working closely with our artists. And
is it fair to say, Curtis, that sometimes a band may sound great live, but for some reason the recording of it just doesn't work that well?
Yes, I would say so. I don't know that I would say it doesn't work quite well, but it doesn't have the sound or the feel that is expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going from a live to a recorded sound.
Jody, do you find that too?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all in the recording technique.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back to early recording technology, everybody gathered around one microphone and, you know, recorded. And when it was time to take a solo, you step closer to the microphone. And so, you know, we try really hard to capture our artists the way that they sound on stage. That way, you know, because we're working in a direct, like, fan-to-artist connection when it comes to purchasing that CD, you know, it's very important that when they get in the car after the show and they put that in the CD player, that it sounds remotely similar to what they just saw on stage.
So, you know, one artist you're really high on right now, Jody, is a guy named Julian Davis. Let's hear him doing a song, this one, Mr. Rain.
Thank you.
How old is Julian Davis?
He's 16 years old.
16 years old.
Yeah, he was 15 when he recorded that track right there.
How did you find him?
Westport Saloon Booking. I mean, actually, a friend of mine who is the manager of, his name's Neil Smith. Mm-hmm. He's a manager of Madison Ward and Mama Bear.
Oh, sure.
He sent me a booking email that he couldn't use. He was booking the Riot Room at the time. And I got the email, and I look into it, and I see Flat Picking Champion, Youth Flat Picking Champion. I don't even listen to it. He was like, oh, I'll give this kid a shot.
Huh.
After clicking around, I realize his YouTube videos have like 30 views, 20 views. His Facebook page has like 60 likes. I'm like, this kid is incredible. So, I mean, he looks...
So you gave him a lift.
Oh, man. He looks, sounds, walks, talks, and plays like he's out of straight out of 1952. And there's something special about this kid. And when I, and as soon as I could get him in the door, I got him a show, and within in no time flat, we had a band backing him. And, you know, he lives in the middle of rural Pittsburgh, Kansas, on a small farm, and he's ready to hit the road. I mean, we're about to hit the ground running with this kid.
I was going to say, so you got huge high prospects for Julian Davis,
yeah,
here then.
Absolutely. Yeah, he just was actually scouted for America's Got Talent, and we'll be finding out later this week that he officially got in. We're hoping he did. If anything, because we just want that 15 minutes for 15 million people to see how amazing this kid is.
Oh, that's amazing. Julian Davis is his name.
Absolutely. Julian Davis and the Hayburners is his new band name. He's got a, you know, permanent band backing him of great musicians, fiddle and upright bass. So,
well, Curtis, if Julian is a youngin' here, well, here's Tyler Gregory singing a song, Roots Below.
Come to rise awake so early, come and rest your weary head. We'll leave you dry seats overnight in a box placed right beneath this bed. Outside the leaves have fallen and the cold is in the air. Train that's always blowing says more than it usually appears. Come to cast away my shadow, leave the light.
Wow. Curtis, tell us about Tyler Gregory. Wow.
Tyler Gregory, he is... What a great guy. Another really nice personality. He is well known around the Lawrence, Kansas area, and he is one of the hardest working musicians I know.
Really?
Spends a lot of time on the road, traveling coast to coast, and just he loves the music. He's got a fantastic voice, very powerful voice, but very soft-spoken individual. And I just can't say enough about how hard he works for his craft. And
How old is he, can I ask?
He is, I don't know exactly, but he's in his late 20s.
Oh, really? Because his voice has an aged quality to it. I would have put him in the 50s, maybe 60s.
Right, and his songwriting, too. His songwriting has the feel of somebody who has been around the block about 20 times. He's got the songwriting skills of somebody in their 50s or 60s with a lot of life experience.
Yeah.
Just his music, it just really gets you in your soul, and the lyrics that he comes up with are fantastic too.
Well, all the music you guys are playing today is just terrific. I mean, Curtis, are small indie labels pretty much the norm these days? I mean, are they to the big recording labels what microbreweries are to national brands like Budweiser?
In my opinion, they are, and that's because a lot of artists are able to, because the technology with the internet and the ability to record and produce and do a lot of these things just from a desktop computer, a lot of artists are able to start up their own label. The industry is really changing. I think that a lot of these independent labels are created to suit a specific genre or to suit a specific plan of an artist or a band. And I think we're going to see more and more of that as it goes on. The industry is definitely different than it used to be, and it's because of the internet, and it's because of the tools that are available to amateurs and musicians themselves.
Well, I've really enjoyed having both you guys in here. What terrific music. Curtis Copeland, co-founder of Mudstomp Records, Jody Hendricks, co-founder of Little Class Records, and really appreciate you guys taking the time. I should point out that Mudstomp has a showcase at the Folk Alliance Conference coming up next week. You can check them out there. And gentlemen, thank you both very much for taking the time. I sure appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.